This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
We were just talking about Tiger is sort of a little bit in our age band here.
I know.
Do you play pickup hoops at all?
Not anymore. For that reason, I don't want to get hurt.
You got to warm up a half an hour to play 10 minutes.
Exactly. No, the last time I played, I had some young dude like step under my ankle on a shot. I rolled it so bad. I'm like, that's it. I'm done.
You're done. You're
cooked. I don't need to be this age getting hurt anymore.
I just, you know, and the Achilles thing scares me more than knees. I just, it's like somebody just like, oh, took a step here and pop.
Exactly.
Freaks me out.
Yeah.
So anyway.
On better news.
Jen Rosati, team president of the Connecticut Sun, joining us here in Brian and Company. We'll take a couple quick minutes here. We get a pause for traffic and then we'll take it to the top of the hour. First of all, I wanted to say, you know, I saw that you were Connecticut's women. So there were, USA Today had one for every state. Is that how they did it?
Yes.
And you were Connecticut's Woman of the Year.
Yeah.
How did you get informed of that? They just give you a call like Publishers Clearinghouse or something, or knock on your door?
Actually, it's funny. I did a, I did an interview about 2 months ago for it. Like they told us, and then they came in and did a feature. So I'd forgotten about it. And then I was in Florida last week for a wedding, and it came out. Everybody started texting me, and I was like, what is this? I didn't know I was getting this. I had totally forgotten that they had already told me. So
you believe the humility? Do you believe it?
So it's obviously a great honor and awesome recognition, and so much to do with the work we're doing as a team at the Connecticut Sun in the community and outside of, you know, off the court. And so I'm just really proud of the work that we've been doing.
Yeah. It's so funny. You know, you've been, you know, you're such a trailblazer for women, and you have two sons.
Yes, I know.
You know, it's funny how that works. My daughter accuses me of not being a girl dad, so I'm trying to figure out what exactly that means. I have a lot of things I want to ask you. You know, I guess I'll start with the actual team. The season starts in May.
Yes.
Are you done building the team?
Not completely.
Okay.
We're getting there. You know, we've had a, you know, I think a lot of people would say tumultuous offseason, but something.
Yeah, the whole starting five is different, right?
Yeah, but it's something we were expecting. You know, last year at this time, I can remember I was looking to sign DeWanna Bonner for one more year. We knew our championship window was ending in 2024. Yeah. So we went all in. You know, we signed DB for one more year, Breonna Jones for one more year. Alyssa was in the last year of her contract. And then we went out midseason to go get Marina Mabry to make ourselves, you know, the strongest that we could at the guard spot. So we knew this was coming. You know, I think a lot of the players knew it was coming. We're not daunted by it. Actually, it's kind of nice to have a little bit of a refresh. It's the first time Morgan Tuck and I have had a new coaching staff and team to build around. So, you know, I think there's like a few more moves that we may potentially make. But most exciting is the draft coming up. We have the number eight pick in the draft, and we're just looking forward to adding some more youth to this roster that's, you know, somewhat veteran, but also we have a lot of good young pieces.
But you're officially, like, no one wants to rebuild. You want to stay competitive, yes. But you are rebuilding a team. So that's like literally what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, it's rebuilding the team, but I don't want to say we're going to take too big of a step backwards, you know?
Do you lean, and of course you and your GM are UConn people.
Yeah.
Do you lean that way? Like, say it's AZ. I mean, you're not going to get Paige.
Yes.
And, but like AZ.
I tried.
Like, you tried to make a deal for the one spot?
Yeah, yeah. Everybody has.
You'd have to give away the kitchen sink. But
which we already did. So
I was always thinking that she and AZ would maybe come back because you make more money in college or something like that. But what if like AZ, I don't know what she projects. Like, would you maybe take someone a little early to get that marketing potential since you also have a very young team, a new team?
I think it's a balance, right? If you know you can get an impact player from UConn, you take it every time, right? Because that's what our fans are excited about. But we're not going to take a UConn player if we don't think they can be an impact player on our roster, because it also sets us up for failure and it sets our coach up to get booed every game if they don't play. But someone like an AZ, if they're available, there's somebody that we're definitely going to consider, if not take, because, you know, she's a tremendous player. So,
and people in the state love her.
I mean, it's not even like she's just a tremendous player. She's a great person. Like, she's culturally everything a WNBA coach and GM would want. So, you know,
You don't think she'll be there?
I don't know. She hasn't even announced that she's coming out, right? Yeah, so at this point, I think we're, you know, we have a, 10 to 12 players that we're identifying and we're scouting through the NCAA tournament, and we'll see where we land.
I got a million questions for you, and I know we won't get to them all, but I think of the WNBA, I think people don't realize, you know, when, and I've covered sports for a lot of years, when you have somebody who's 28, who's 6'2" and has been training at an elite level for 12 years, that's a different strength and a different body. And I'm wondering, like, do you think Paige, even though they say she's 5'11", 6 feet, she's so slight. Do you think she'll, and you saw what happened to Caitlin when she started. I mean, and the strategy with Paige, I saw in the first Notre Dame game, if you, you know, pick and roll, you bot muscle, you can really take her off her game. Do you think she'll struggle out of the gate?
I don't want to say struggle, but I there'll definitely be an adjustment period. And the same thing with Caitlin. I mean, people don't peak as an athlete until they're 27 or 28.
Yeah.
And so she's not even playing the best basketball of her career at this point, her or Caitlin or any of these guys. So they're going to have an adjustment period because of the physicality and because they're coming off of a 40-something game college season with barely any break. So I think Paige, you know, IQ-wise is going to be able to adjust fine. She's a great selfless teammate, so I think that will help her. I think her defense has gotten a lot better in her 4 years at UConn. But yeah, she's going to have to adjust when she gets to the W like any rookie does.
So the Connecticut Sun, I mean, last year's game in Boston, I have to ask you these questions. I'm born and raised in Boston. I didn't seem like you marketed it a smidge, and it sold out. I mean, it just all of a sudden snuck up on us, and like you couldn't get a seat to this thing. And obviously it started people talking, and Boston doesn't have a team. And Connecticut, I love Connecticut. You know, I've been here for a lot of years off and on. I had an interlude in Boston and New York, but it's a great place to be, but it's not Boston or New York. Mm-hmm. And so there's obviously a lot of chatter.
Yeah.
There's Donnie Wahlberg wants an expansion team and all, whatever, you know, and some people are like, well, just move the Sun. And is it something that's a possibility that the Sun would move? And can you just talk about whether you think that might happen?
Yeah, it's honestly not something that I can talk about because I don't make that decision. It's an ownership decision. I think that the one thing that I can say is that it's exciting that what has happened over the last year and a half is it's forced owners to have an investment level equal to what is, you know, necessary to be competitive in this league. And so what I've talked to our owners about is, hey, this is the way the WNBA is going. We have to have a practice facility. We have to increase our operating budget.
No more
budget.
Birthday parties.
Yeah. You know, we have to be in a place where we are an attractive market, maybe for different reasons, you know, because we're not a big market, but we have to have other things that are differentiators. And that's where you guys need to focus on. And if that's the case, then I think we can be a market that has other things that attract players in different parts times of their career. And if that's not the case and we move, then we move. But if I
may be honest, because I think about it, were they responsive?
Of course. Okay. Of course they were.
Because I think about it, if I'm a 24-year-old African-American woman and I'm playing there, like, that's not that attractive of a lifestyle.
These athletes want to be taken care of. I think more so than where they are located, they want to make sure they have the facilities to have their careers last for as long as humanly possible. And so I think what people forget is the Mohegan Tribe has invested in this team more than most teams have in the WNBA for over two decades. So although maybe we've fallen behind a teeny bit here and there, we've been setting trends and we've been setting an example for what it means to own a women's basketball team for a long time.
Yeah. Well, the arena.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous, but I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Especially initially, yeah. Is a huge draw.
Yeah.
It's the right size. And it's,
well, right now it's just, the right size. I don't know if in 2 years,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
we never thought we'd sell out the Garden. We had like a price quote for the lower bowl and then the upper bowl. And it all of a sudden we had to open the whole entire thing.
Incredible. And, you know, I have to give producer Matt credit here. He had an idea because, you know, I used to go to Bruins games at the Civic Center.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when my dad got rid of his Bruins season tickets, couldn't afford them, we would stay in the hotel and we would go to the Bruins games because you could get the ticket. Would you ever do some sort of split schedule and maybe have a few more games in Boston?
It would be up to TD Garden, right? Like the availability.
It's something you would want.
I would want to do it. Yeah. I actually asked for a second game this year and they felt like they didn't have the availability to give it to me.
That's crazy to me.
I think that they're regretting that now, but... again, I think we're open. We are the Connecticut Sun, but we do feel like we're New England's team. And so we want to bring our game to be as accessible as possible to as many people as
so
possible.
So to sum it up, like it's wait and see to see if the Tribe can really step up and be a leader in terms of facilities and resources.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're talking with Jen Rosati, team president of the Connecticut Sun, obviously a UConn legend. A couple of quick questions about the 3-on-3 stuff.
Yeah.
First of all, it's got to be exhausting for those players,
it's
right?
It's exhausting. It is so hard compared to 5-on-5.
I can't imagine.
And it's not even anything like this Unrivaled. They have out. Two of my Olympians are down there playing in this 3-on-3.
Right.
And they said the players have no idea how much harder 3x3 in the half court is than this full court, like 3-on-3.
The half court's harder?
Oh, yeah. Way harder.
Because you're never really stopping?
You're never stopping. There's no... You can't jog up the floor. Everything's a sprint. It's 12-second shot clock.
Jeez.
It's a quicker game. It's much more physical. And you have to actually get the ball out past the three-point line, which there's strategies to prevent you from doing that. So
right. It
is... They are exhausted.
So the Olympic stuff is 3-on-3 full court.
No. 3x3 is half court, and that's the FIBA Olympic.
Okay.
What
and
they're
the
playing
stuff
in
is now
is just... It's just like this off-season full court 3-on-3 game. It's nothing.
Do you think
like
it's going to stick, or which one will stick? Like,
yeah,
this...
I mean, the 3x3 FIBA is around for good. It's in the Olympics. It's worldwide. It's actually more popular overseas than it is in the United States, but we're starting to get the attention to it. Unrivaled, I hope it sticks. It's a great league for our players to play in the offseason.
To stay home and
stay
make a little
home,
money.
Make money, get exposure, build their brand, you know, keep them in shape for the WNBA season. So it's been a lot of positives out of that league.
Did you like coaching it?
I loved coaching it. You know why? Okay, a couple things. It's all about preparation. I can't coach during the game, so I have to sit up in the stands.
No way.
So I can't coach during the game. Everybody plays because it's only four players. So nobody complains about playing time. Huh. I can't yell at them during the game. So they're self-taught. So you're really teaching them how to coach themselves. And that's a whole different strategy than five-on-five where you're micromanaging every decision they make.
Do the players like it?
They love it. They love it. The ones that play it love it.
Will you continue to coach it if asked?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Which leads me to this, you know, I think the person who follows Gino,
I should have told you not to ask me this question.
Well, I asked her what's on and off the table. She said, I'll talk about anything. But I do think that it'll be difficult. It's going to happen. I don't know if the team or the game will ever be the same. I mean, Gino Auriemma is one of the most incredible human beings, you know, I've ever witnessed of what he's done. But, I mean, there's a short list of people. I mean, we know all the names that are on the staff. We know who's not on the staff, and Shea's doing great at Vandy and all this other
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
Is that something you would maybe consider?
Yeah, not at this point in my career. I think if you had asked me this 15 years ago, you know, like when I was coaching at Hartford and I was kind of up and coming, before he had won 11 national championships, it may have been a little bit more of an attractive job for me. But now that I'm out of coaching, I love what I'm doing. I love that I can impact the game in so many more ways. I get my coaching fix through 3x3. I also coach my son's AAU team with Rebecca Lobo. Our sons play together.
Oh, no way.
So we get like our little time together. I get my coaching fix.
You coach together?
Oh, yeah.
Who's the head coach?
Well, me, of course. Well, this is what happened. She's like, hey, do you want Connor to come play on our AAU team? And I'm like, sure. And then I show up and she's like, gave me the clipboard and was like, now you're also the coach. So it's been a blast. But I also, like I said, I love being in the front office. I love having the opportunity to make some of the decisions I make to positively impact the growth of the game. So I don't know that 5-on-5 coaching is in my future anymore.
So the season starts in late May.
Yep, May 18th.
Tickets are on sale.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what about the Boston game? I mean, tickets are on sale for that,
too? Tickets are on sale. I mean, they're going quick because we're playing the Indiana Fever.
Yeah, you got Caitlin Clark.
Yes, but tickets are on sale for all of our games now. We're almost sold out of season tickets, which is amazing. We've never even come close.
So you cap it?
Yeah,
because you want to have some people walk up and
come. We don't want to have our whole entire arena to be season tickets. We want to be able to sell to groups. We have a lot of groups coming out to games. We have a couple partial plans available. But yeah, I mean, it's such a good time. And I know people love watching UConn women. And the fact that we start a month after they finish, I think is so terrific for the state of Connecticut because we have diehards. Like, we have fans that just love this game. And they go from, you know, putting on their Husky shirt to putting on their Connecticut Sun shirt. And it's a vibe. I mean, a professional women's basketball game is very different than college, and it's hard to explain until you come out and experience it.
Well, Jen, it's great to see you.
Yeah.
I'm glad things are well. We're really interested to see how the team takes shape, and we look forward to the season starting. Jen Rosati, president of the Connecticut Sun.